Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're looking to China and exploring the country's property market. We'll ask our international experts whether they think boom or bust or more of the same lies ahead, and we'll dig a little deeper into some of the particular vagaries of this volatile market. What might the implications of another boom be? Likewise, a bust, both for China and the rest of the world. Stay tuned to hear our analysts' views. First up, let's set the scene. Despite all the worries about China's growth, Shenzhen house prices are up by almost 60% in a year, and this is a city of 25 million people, don't forget. So why are Chinese property markets so volatile? Let's ask our experts. First up is Jeffrey Yu, ultra-high net worth investment strategist for UBS Wealth Management.
Firstly, you have to, you know, segment in between different cities, right? So Shenzhen is a tier one market, and Shenzhen itself actually tends to, you know, lead the rest of Chinese tier one cities in general. So it's a bit like talking about central London when it can actually outperform the rest of the UK. So in context, the tier one cities in China are doing well. Tier two cities are doing quite well as well. So, you know, clearly demand is coming through again, and that's backed up by strong credit impulse. So you're seeing the lending numbers pick up aggressively, and it's something that the PBOC is quite wary of. So the general sense is sometimes, you know, when you actually lack investment opportunities, so more restrictions on sending money overseas and equity markets underperforming somewhat, you know, property is probably one final sector which tends to reflate. So the easing that has come through and the fiscal stimulus, you know, that's where you tend to get leakage into property markets. We've seen this before, right? And it's something that the PBOC is very keen to avoid getting out of hand. So that's why within the tier one cities, tier two cities, you are seeing a crackdown already. China in aggregate, you know, you still have an inventory problem. So the housing ministry itself is very open about this. So the central authorities are keen to not let this get out of control.
It's a diverse picture, and Jeffrey is right. You must allow for differences between tier one and tier two cities. That's the view of Tao Wang, co-head of Asia Economic Research at UBS Investment Bank.
China's property market has been in a downward adjustment for a couple of years. The government has eased policy, and so sales in the last year or so have started to rebound. But that still does not change the fact that there is quite a diverse picture across the country. So some tier one cities, such as Shenzhen and Shanghai, have seen major price increase, whereas in, you know, lower tier cities, smaller cities somewhere else in China have not seen price increase or have continued to see price decline. So it's a very diverse picture. But the overall situation right now is because of easier policy, easier access to credit, and continued income growth, the overall property market is having a comeback.
Angus Grigg is the correspondent for the Australian Financial Review, based in Shanghai.
You can definitely say that the Chinese property market is going through a boom stage at the moment. There is a definite uptick in property prices in first-tier cities, that is the sort of wealthy eastern cities along the coast here in China. And I guess inland prices are flat or stabilising. And so that's a very big change from, say, just a year ago, where the sort of whole property market across China really was pretty well in the doldrums. And what you can put that down to is the Chinese government and a new strategy that they've really embarked on from the start of this year, which is basically going for growth. They've put the foot on the pedal here. They want to try and ensure that growth not only hits 6.5% this year, maybe even exceeds that. And they're doing that in a pretty dangerous manner, really, by pumping huge amounts of credit into the economy.
Why are Chinese property markets so volatile? Well, where does money go if you have a closed capital account? This is maybe the key question, according to Simon Smiles, UBS Chief Investment Officer for Ultra High Net Worth.
Well, we have a country with a closed capital account, albeit with leakage. And in the more recent past, we've had a cut down of that leakage. Hence, when capital can't leave a country and when equity markets have shown themselves not to be the one-way street that the government was initially promoting with the huge turbulence we saw last year, there's not a huge amount left for that capital to go into. And so we have a revisit of the experience of many of the years past where the money floods into our property, given it can't go anywhere else. And hence we see the significant appreciation property prices that we've seen more recently. obviously, further aiding that is the relaxation of the curbs on property price development that the government had put in last year in particular.
Justin Bergman is Monocle's correspondent in Shanghai. He sees some very tangible evidence of the boom, at least in one of the Tier 1 cities, his hometown.
It's funny, we're talking about this now. I was just on the subway going out to a distant Shanghai suburb this weekend and noticed all these high-rises going up where there were none a year ago. It was just flat, you know, farmland before. So, I mean, this is happening in cities all around the country. As I was sitting on the subway, there were men walking through with leaflets trying to pass them out to all the riders selling houses. You know, they were offering really good rates. And, you know, I think that there's going to be always a high demand for housing in China. I think that's not going to go away. What we're seeing in cities like Shenzhen right now is that prices are going up dramatically, 50% last year in Shenzhen, and also a big increase in Shanghai last year, about 20% there as well. So the big cities are seeing huge increases. And in the small cities, you're seeing kind of the reverse. You're seeing a glut of housing, a lot of the housing being built, and there are no buyers for those places. So the government's trying to enact measures to try to rectify both.
Now, Angus Grigg has described some of the causes of volatility already, but what about the impact if the boom continues?
It's very dangerous, I think. The Chinese government now is pumping credit into the economy at the same pace as they were during the global financial crisis. So it is a very dangerous situation here in China. Probably it won't manifest in any form of a sort of crisis or a hard landing for 3 or 4 years, but you've got to say that credit levels in China or debt levels in China were already at very elevated levels. And so by doubling down again and seeking growth, then it's a huge risk that you will get a hard landing or even a sort of potential, you know, banking or monetary crisis here in China.
Next, we asked Simon Smiles what he'd consider the immediate impact of a boom might be.
The Chinese government continues to deal with a huge range of inefficiencies and structural issues which it inherited from the last leadership. Huge creation of credit to avoid the recession which engulfed much of the world in 2008-2009. And this ongoing change and transformation of what is already the world's second largest economy and most populous country from a fixed asset-led economy to a consumer-led one, a multi-decade approach. This won't be without pitfalls along the way. So in the near term, we think there are ample measures for the government to continue to engage to stimulate the economy. In the near term, that more expansionary policy and the support of the economy probably means property prices go higher from here. However, over a medium-term basis, again, you know, we're very cognizant that there are likely to be bumps along the road, and it will not, with respect to the economy, nor with respect to the property market, be a one-way street. The point I would make, though, with respect to the wider relevance for the world, the vast majority of Chinese debt is held domestically. So the flow-through effect from a meltdown in China would be predominantly to the global system, predominantly be through a massive sell-down in the treasury holdings that the Chinese government has as they raise funds to recapitalize the Chinese banking system. Now, that may put pressure on treasury prices. It may put pressure on risk parity funds and diversified portfolios over a period of time as the market digests the sell down in treasuries. But it's hardly likely to spur a global recession or a global economic meltdown.
What are the implications of a boom in Tao Wong's view? Or does she feel it's a little too soon to say?
The boom is actually only in a few cities. It's more of a comeback for the rest of the country. Many cities are still having a lot of inventory overhang. So I think the rebound in property activity right now is, I guess, in general, good news for the overall economy, which has been dragged down by property construction, which affected, obviously, steel and cement and commodities and so on. So a rebound in that is supportive for industrial space, for commodity space, and that could be, you know, helping to stabilize the general growth situation. I think we are, apart from, you know, a couple of cities, it's probably early to say this is another, you know, overheating situation. Because in general, we see property market continue to adjust in the next few years.
Allowing for differences between Tier 1 and Tier 2 cities, then, what are the implications? Well, look to commodities, says Jeffrey Yu.
Well, firstly, you know, for commodities, so for industrial commodities, you know, for example, you know, when you look at housing as a driver of fixed asset investment growth, you know, that's clearly something that the commodity producers and also in the Australian dollar, for example, you know, they're looking at very, very closely. For those who are looking at the end of the commodity super cycle, you know, and there might just be some life in there yet, right? So, you know, that's one of the implications to look at. Now, here's the thing, whether it's healthy or not, that's an entirely different debate, right? So China needs to rebalance. Everyone knows that. Fixed asset investment growth targets are being lowered every single year. This is the first year, actually, where you have a retail sales growth target, which is above the fixed asset investment growth target. So, you know, that's a clear sign that China, you know, wants to rebalance its economy towards consumption-driven. And having a housing bubble, again, it kind of undermines the case. So optically, the growth numbers, you know, might look good, but it's actually, you know, very worrying for the health of the Chinese economy, for the structural implications of the Chinese economy in the longer term.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the local and global prospects in the event not of boom, but of bust. So what would it mean if the property market busts, both for China and the wider world? Jeffrey Yu, again.
Well, I think the concern is, you know, generally when it comes to Chinese real estate markets is, and it's just taking a step back towards credit impulse. The PBOC governor himself said a couple of weeks ago that debt is too high in China right now. So the last thing he needs is another new credit boom for debt expansion to continue. So, you know, those are going to be the risks, you know, over the longer term, you know, not just for the Chinese economy, but for the global economy as well. We know within emerging markets, you know, there has been a lot of debt accumulation. China is probably less exposed on the external debt front. So, you know, you have a country with a high savings rate, so a lot of the debt can be internally funded. The same can't be said for wider emerging markets. But the risk is if this actually gets out of hand and you actually get fears of balance sheet contagion from China into other places, then there are going to be broader risks for the global economy. But at this point, we stress the Chinese government is very serious about, you know, containing the debt situation. I still think there is a comprehensive reform plan. The key now is the implementation of it.
Does Chinese property remain a swing factor for the rest of the world? According to Angus Grigg, maybe.
Well, it's often said that the Chinese housing market is the single biggest swing factor for the world economy. So if we saw another downturn in the housing market here, it would be very significant for the world economy. And even in recent months, we've seen a pretty solid pickup in the housing market. And I guess that's coupled with a more optimistic view for the global economy. So I don't want to warn about there being an imminent crisis here because I just don't think that's going to happen. I think the Chinese government is being pretty foolish by pumping huge amounts of credit into the economy, but I think they can probably handle it for the next 3 or 4 years. But talking to economists around town, the sense is that you may not get a banking-style crisis or a monetary crisis here in China, but what you might get is a Japan-style stagnation where growth goes pretty close to zero because they failed to embark on the big reforms needed. They've sort of taken the easy option, which is pumping fiscal and monetary stimulus into the economy.
Yifan Hu, Regional Chief Investment Officer of UBS Wealth Management China, shares her view on the potential impact of a bust.
Yes, the housing used to be a major driver for China's economy. So now, but the situation is gradually changing, especially in the past 2 years because of the overhang of the inventories. So I think in the future, the driver will come in more from the new economy, including this kind of new manufacturing, new material, and also for the new services sectors. Then for the housing side, but we don't expect a hard landing. We think it's a continuous adjustment, survival the strongest. So that means this sector will have to experience a serious consolidation because this sector actually started to boom since 2003 and never have this kind of big-scale consolidation, but it will happen in the coming 3 years. And also, I think with this kind of overhaul in mind, the fiscal policy will also support for these low-income migrant workers to purchase housing, and they will also try to provide more affordable housing based on the current inventory, just a switch to the this kind of affordable housing. So we don't think the housing will become a driver for the investment for the economy anymore. And instead, we still have to digest this kind of inventory. That's for the Chinese economy, it's inevitably decelerate.
And a last word to Justin Bergman in Shanghai, who urges a measure of caution. He looks back to the Chinese government's previous steps taken to control volatility.
I think first, though, you have to kind of look at whether we're actually going to bust. We've been in a situation before. The government has taken steps to try to prevent it. And when they did that, prices in 2012 only fell by about 20%. So they were able to keep a bust from actually happening. And it was the same situation then as it is happening now. So I think for the broader economy, one of the big things that we should be looking at is how Chinese buyers are affecting home prices in foreign cities. Just this last year, Vancouver and Sydney were in the top 10 for highest housing prices in the world. A lot of this is being fueled by Chinese buyers who are going outside China for safer investment purchases in North America, Europe, and Australia. So this is worrisome for people living in those cities when they see their housing markets going sky high.
And that's Justin Bergman in Shanghai, bringing us to the end of this 81st edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.